Well, turn back to Matthew chapter 1 and 2, a little bit of that, then this evening. We've been thinking over this Christmas time about five messages on the theme of fear. And the message that keeps coming up at Christmas, don't be afraid. So a couple of weeks ago we looked at Zacharias, and then Mary, and on Christmas Day we looked at the shepherds. And then this morning, after the visit of the Magi, the people of Jerusalem and Herod, and all of them are described as being afraid. And to many of them, the message came, do not be afraid. So last one then today, to look at the story of Joseph. And we'll look at the beginning bit, and that we read, and then the things that happened after the visit to the Magi as well. The last person that we'll think of who was afraid as that first Christmas dawned, he was afraid, and yet he learned not to be afraid. So in Matthew's Gospel, it takes us through mostly centred on the story of Joseph, really, isn't it? It begins in Matthew chapter 1 with a genealogy explaining who this Joseph is. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So Matthew takes us on a family tree from Abraham, then all the way to David, and then to Joseph, and to Jesus. And so we're going to think a little bit about this character this evening. And Matthew takes us straight through Joseph's side of the story. We know from Luke's Gospel that an angel had appeared to Mary, but Matthew sort of takes it from a different point of view, which is a great sort of way of putting these two stories together. To hear the same thing from two sources, of course, increases its credibility and how we can believe it all the more. So Matthew tells us what happened from Joseph's experience. Now we're introduced to Joseph and told a little bit about him in verse 12, that Joseph, Mary's husband, was a just man. So his character, Joseph, he was just. It's another word for faithful. He was a faithful man. He was faithful towards God. That is, he would try to obey God's laws and live in God's ways. He loved God and tried to follow what God would say. He was a just man, so he tried to be fair and honest in what he did. We know later on that he was a carpenter. So he was a man who tried to do an accurate quote for the job, and then he'd keep to it. He didn't overcharge people. He charged them for what he needed to fix their plough or build them a table and chairs or whatever it was. He was an honest man, a just man. He knew what it was. He was kind to those in need. He cared for those and so on, trying to follow in God's ways. So that's one thing we're told about him, that he was just. He was a faithful man. And we're told a bit about his family, as we said already, that he was in the line of David. And when we'll get in a moment to the words of the angel, that's exactly what the angel says. Joseph, son of David. That's who he was. Joseph came from a very famous family. Matthew tells us a few of those details back in chapter 1, verse 6. There was David the king, who had Solomon. And Solomon had a son called Rehoboam, and Rehoboam had a son called Abijah and Asa. And on they go through the list. Some of them quite famous kings, David and Solomon, maybe Hezekiah you might have heard of, and Josiah, perhaps some of the others. And then we're told in verse 11, Jeconiah and his brothers who were carried away into Babylon. And so this was a royal family that was no longer really royal. No one had claimed the title of king since those days, actually, of Josiah. Jeconiah had been taken away, he'd been blinded in prison. It had been a disastrous end for this family. But even there, God had kept the family going. We're told in verse 12, there was other sons, Shealtiel and Zerubbabel. And on you go through this list. So it was a royal family in the line of David. But now it was a very ragged line. They weren't rich. They weren't noble. They were despised. And Joseph, a son, a great-great-great-grandson of the king, is a peasant. And he works and lives in Nazareth, a despised backwater of their land. That was Joseph. And he was betrothed, we're told in verse 18, to Mary. Mary and Joseph, the famous couple. They were engaged. They weren't married yet. It talks about the fact that he didn't know her yet. They hadn't had a sexual relationship. They weren't quite married in that sense. But what happened in those days is an engagement was very serious. It was kind of like a wedding ceremony. It would be arranged by the families. And so Mary and Joseph would have come as a couple, and all their family and friends would have been there. And Mary and Joseph would have exchanged vows, a little bit like a wedding. But at the end of it, they went back home to their own homes and their own families. And so they had made promises that they would get married, probably in a year's time, would be afterwards. But they would live separately for a whole year until then they would be finally married, and they would go home together, and they would live together. And in the end, most people thought they would raise a family together and so on in the normal way of things. That's what happened in their culture. So it was much more serious than our engagement. It couldn't just be broken off. It was the same thing as getting divorced, really, because they were virtually married, they just lived separately. And from Joseph's point of view, we're told that while they were engaged, verse 18, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. So, what should Joseph do? What would he do? Now Mary is having a child, and Joseph knows it isn't his. They've been saving themselves for marriage. Joseph knows it is not his child, and yet Mary's now found to be with child. That probably means that it's obvious, it's showing that she's pregnant and so on. The months have gone past. Everyone knows Mary's with child, and Joseph doesn't know what to do. What's he to do with this? It's a serious problem. Theoretically, if he accused Mary of unfaithfulness, she could be stoned to death, in theory. There's not much evidence they did that, really, but it was in the laws in the past. Joseph could have divorced her and publicly ended the marriage, sort of, you know, stood up in public and had that sort of official sort of separation. But we're told he was a just man and didn't want to make her a public example. Because if he did that in a very public way, if everyone knew that there'd been this divorce, Mary could be virtually abandoned by her family, destitute in the community. That could have been what happened to Mary. And Joseph's a just man. He's a good man. He doesn't want that to happen to Mary. And so he's considering a sort of quiet ending of their relationship, that it would just be sorted out between the families, that you know, it's come to an end, it's all off, and they'll just go their separate ways, and so on. That's what he's thinking. And we're told, verse 20, while he was thinking about these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So he's going to bed, thinking, turning over, perhaps as sometimes we do, turning over these situations in our minds. Oh, what are we going to do? Should we do this? Should we do that? That's Joseph. And he finally falls asleep, exhausted from trying to work out the right thing to do in this stressful situation. And an angel comes and speaks to him. An angel of the Lord. God sends a messenger to Joseph in his dream. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. And that's the message we've thought of several times over this Christmas period. Do not be afraid, Joseph. And actually, as it turns out, Joseph has several dreams. This is the first one of them. And this angel comes and speaks. And Joseph was afraid. There was no doubt the grief. Maybe Mary told him her story of an angel appearing to her and the news that she'd been told. Maybe Joseph found it hard to believe. Maybe Joseph didn't really know, even if it was true, what he was meant to do about that anyway. So Mary was having this baby, and she says it's a child of the Holy Spirit. But where does that leave Joseph in this bizarre situation? No one's ever been in a situation like it. He doesn't really know what to do. Maybe, though, he doubts the story and guesses that Mary's been unfaithful. And he's devastated by this betrayal. He's afraid in the situation. He wants to protect Mary still. He wants to be kind, even in it. And maybe too, we need to hear the same message of the angel. Do not be afraid. Sometimes too, we can be in a situation we think has gone completely wrong. Might be one in our workplace, in our family life, whatever. And we're just suddenly racking our brains thinking, I don't know what to do. Don't know whether to do this option or that option. It just all seems a complete mess. And the angel said to Joseph, and maybe the same thing we need to hear this evening, don't be afraid. Maybe sometimes we can be hung up by griefs and things that have happened in the past, sadnesses, maybe the same things, people who've let us down, people who've betrayed us, people who've been unfaithful, all this kind of thing, it all clouds our minds and makes us fearful. What is he meant to do? And the angel says, don't be afraid, Joseph, son of David. Maybe especially that phrase tells us part of Joseph's problem. He was Joseph, son of David. He knew he was in the family line of the king. And in the Old Testament, it was promised that one day God would send a king in the line of David. And maybe Joseph's thinking, well, what's gone wrong now? If he doesn't keep this family line going, then how's God ever going to keep this promise? And in this fiasco, it seems, with Mary, is this going to derail this plan that God had to one day send his king in David's line? He was afraid that everything was screwed up and made a mess of in the situation. And sometimes we can have the same thing, the same thought. But hang on a minute, this can't be right. This seems to be just making a whole mess of things in God's plan. But don't be afraid, the angel says, Joseph, son of David. And he tells Joseph what he should do. And he also tells Joseph what God is doing. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God outlines to Joseph what he must do, the plan that is happening, the plan that's in action. Joseph must have worried whether the whole plan had gone wrong because of this blip with Mary. But it's not. This is what God is doing. Mary's son is conceived of the Holy Spirit, the angel says to Joseph. Now, Joseph heard it himself firsthand. Mary's heard it herself. And he's not just going to take her word from it. He's heard God's word of this. Mary's son is conceived of the Holy Spirit. Mary hasn't been unfaithful. She hasn't betrayed him. This is God's son whom she is carrying in her womb. God's own son. And the angel tells Joseph what he must do. Take Mary to be your wife. No longer holding her at arm's length, no longer keeping her wondering what to do, whether to separate this relationship and so on. No, take Mary as your wife. And she will have a son. Verse 21, in the end, when the months are up, she will have a son. That's her part of the role. You shall call his name Jesus. That's Joseph's part of the role. You shall call his name Jesus. And that was Joseph's role. By naming Jesus, by naming this child Jesus, Joseph would be claiming him, adopting him in the family, taking him as his son, as a son, therefore, of David. And that is what it's going to happen. Joseph's got a responsibility. He's got to care for Mary, and he is going to take this child and adopt him as his son and raise him as the great-great-great-great-grandson of David. He is going to call him Jesus. That's his fatherly task. For the main name means he will save his people from their sins. Matthew also recaps another prophecy. Or is it Joseph? Hard to say. In verse 22, all of these things happened that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel." Now, is those the words of Matthew as he writes the gospel, or are those the thoughts of Joseph as he wakes up and as he contemplates these things? He was thinking, of course, this had all gone wrong. And now he hears the words of the angel, and hears, no, it hasn't all gone wrong. It's gone exactly right. Just as God said by Isaiah the prophet years and years ago, there would be a virgin who would have a son. And his name would be Emmanuel, God with us, God's own son. And Joseph, no doubt, as a man who knew God's word, found that a great reassurance himself. Maybe we can have some of the same dilemmas. Maybe sometimes we can think that the situation is out of control. Whether it's we lose our job, or someone gets unwell, or one thing happens or another, we can sometimes think the situation is out of control. But it isn't. Here Joseph's told exactly what's going on. Now often we're not. God doesn't often talk to us in dreams and tell us exactly what's happening. But we do know it still is. Sometimes we can be afraid of those same things. And Joseph thought it, and perhaps sometimes we can think it, that God's plans have hit a snag, hit a disaster. Or that God's plans for us are in danger and everything's gone wrong. But it isn't. God's purposes here in this chapter are right on track. Joseph's fears weren't real, were they? The things he was afraid of, whether that was the situation with Mary or the situation in the family line, they weren't real. And God tells him exactly what is happening. And that's the comfort for his fears. Well, there we thought of Joseph's first dream and what he does when he wakes up. Verse 24, Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded. Joseph that morning was out of bed like a rocket. Up on his feet, running round to Mary's family and her house, saying, "Mary, it's all right. An angel's told me exactly the same thing. And we will be married. And I'll look after you. And I'm going to be true to you." And we know from Luke's version that in the end, the two of them, of course, then had to go to Bethlehem to be counted and so on. So they go together. And then we're told in the end, she gave birth to her son. We're told Joseph's very careful. He didn't know her. They still didn't have a sexual relationship. And until later on, so that everyone would know, this was God's son, not his. This was God's son. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, verse 25. And he, and Joseph, called his name Jesus. Joseph names him and legally adopts him and takes him into the family line of David. Again, in Luke's gospel, it then has them going to the temple to circumcise Jesus and to bring their offerings. That would have been probably the same time when he was officially named in the temple. He said, this is my son, Joseph would say. This is a son of David who's been born. And then they live in Bethlehem. And Joseph begins to raise him in royal David's city. And then after a time, the Magi visit. But just notice what happens after Joseph hears this dream and the words of an angel. He was afraid. And then he hears God's word. And we thought of that in other people in the story, haven't we? We thought of Mary. And we thought of the shepherds. And the same things happen for them. They're afraid. And then they hear God's word. And then they trust and obey. And then their fear turns to joy. We thought of it with Mary. We thought of it with the shepherds. They were afraid in the fields. And then they heard God's word. And then they trusted and obeyed. And they went and found the baby. And then they were joyful. Fear turns to joy as we listen to God's word. And as we trust him and obey him. That's a real lesson for each one of us, isn't it? When sometimes we're afraid, when we're cast down, when everything seems to be going wrong and we're pulling out our hair, fear turns to joy as we listen to God, as we trust him and obey. And maybe we could all remember occasions in our own times when we've done exactly that. When we've turned to God's word and asked for his help and his advice and for him to guide us and to help us know the right thing to do. And as we hear God's word, we trust him, we believe him, we put our faith in what he says and we do what he says in the Bible, like Joseph's doing, fear turns to joy. Well, we thought this morning then of the visit of the Magi. And we're going to carry on then thinking about three little dreams that Joseph still has in the verses that follow. We're just going to run through them very quickly. So after the visit of the Magi, we're told in verse 13, chapter 2 now, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream again. Again, we could pause. Here's dream 2. What was Joseph afraid of? Well, you soon would be. He was afraid of Herod. And the angel tells him, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there till I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Boy, that's a bad dream, isn't it? To be told in the middle of the night, you've got a wife, you've got a newborn baby, there are people who want to kill your baby. You've got to flee to Egypt. So Joseph might well have been afraid of Herod. Herod and his hit squad, Herod and his armed men, who were after the baby that Joseph had promised to adopt and to keep safe and so on. This was a nightmare scenario for some new parents, wasn't it? But yet, Joseph told, this is what you must do. Flee to Egypt and stay there till I give you word. And then we got the same thing again. Joseph might well have been afraid. But what does he do? He hears God's word and he does it. He trusts that God's telling them the truth, that God's telling him exactly the right thing to do, that God knows best. And he trusts God and obeys. And off they head to Egypt. And he obeys. And again, like we might think, sometimes these problems we think are messing up God's plan. But Matthew tells us, no, of course it is God's plan, that out of Egypt God would call his son. It was a promise of long ago. And so Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus go down to Egypt. And then they live there for a little while, probably a couple of years. Then there they were, and Herod in the end dies. Verse 19, Herod was dead. And behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream in Egypt and said, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. So there's dream 3. Again, maybe up until that point, that nagging fear at the back of Joseph's mind. Would Herod ever find out? Would Herod ever work out that they'd fled to Egypt? Herod was a powerful man. Could he send his assassins down there? Maybe every now and again it crossed Joseph's mind to still be afraid of Herod. And then an angel tells him in a dream, Herod's dead. Herod's dead, that evil man. That evil man and the horrible things he did, he's dead now. Nothing to fear from him. It's all over for Herod. Return to the land of Israel. That's the message that comes to Joseph again in a dream. And what's Joseph do? The same steps. He might have been afraid. Up until this point, well, he hears God's words. He trusts God. He obeys God. And so he packs his bag, he saddles his donkey or whatever else, and he heads back on his way, trusting God. Another long journey for them. And then so they head up from Egypt and following the way of God's people of long ago, hence the verse, out of Egypt I called my son. They go on a similar trail, heading back towards the land of Israel. And then, as they're just approaching the land of Israel, the land of Judea, we're told verse 22. But he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea instead of his father Herod, and he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside to the region of Galilee. Fourth dream for Joseph. He's afraid of someone else this time. He doesn't have to be afraid of Herod. Herod's dead. But Joseph's now a little bit afraid of Archelaus, Herod's son. And he was never quite as powerful, but he was just as nasty as his dad. And so Archelaus was the new king in Judea, just the bit at the south now. Herod was king of lots. Archelaus was only king of tiny little bits. And Joseph's afraid. Again, he's afraid to go there, we're told. Afraid that it perhaps wasn't over. This was a ruthless family who had, as we looked at this morning, had usurped the throne, and they would never tolerate somebody else. And maybe up until this point, Joseph was thinking, we'll go back to Bethlehem. That's the place I should raise this son, isn't it? I should go to Bethlehem. And then he's told in a dream. He's warned by God in a dream, and he turned aside to the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called in that only. And so he has a fourth dream. We're not told the words, you know, in speech marks, as it were, but the gist of it is to go and dwell in Nazareth. And so that's what Joseph does. He was afraid, but he hears God's words, and he trusts it, and he obeys God's. And fear turns to joy. And so they head on their way. And again, far from it derailing God's plan, it exactly is God's plan that he would be raised in Nazareth and called a Nazarene. Last verse of the chapter. And there's Joseph, his four strange dreams. And the angel tells him repeatedly what he's got to do. Well, in some ways we can be glad we perhaps have not lived through such traumatic times as Joseph, and so many ups and downs, and had so many hitmen after us, as Joseph and his family did. Maybe, though, sometimes we might be envious of Joseph, that God did give him four dreams and tell him exactly what to do. We don't often get those precise instructions from God, but Joseph didn't have the whole of this, and we do. Joseph only had a bit of the Old Testament. We've got the whole of God's word. He will guide and direct us through that. And we can trust that just as these bizarre things that happened in his life, or they seemed bizarre, were parts of God's plan. And Matthew picks out these prophecies as we go along. And that nearly is the last thing we ever hear of Joseph. In Luke chapter 2, we read of one last story of Mary and Joseph when Jesus is about the age of 12 and they take Jesus to Jerusalem. And there's never another mention of Joseph. And so from that we assume maybe he had died before Jesus' ministry began, when Jesus was in his 30s. But Joseph was a man who was faithful. That was the first thing we're told about him. In chapter 1 verse 13, that he's a just man. He was faithful. And so he was. He remained that through the whole of his life. These little incidents we hear of him. He lived through some fearful events, didn't he? He lived through the shock of finding out his fiancée was pregnant. He lived through these difficult events, the turmoil of travelling to Bethlehem, there being no room in the inn, the baby being born, hearing the arrival then of the Magi, having to run away from Herod, having to live in a foreign country, living there as a refugee in the land of Egypt, another traumatic journey back to the land of Israel. Joseph had lived through it all, hadn't he? And he had been afraid. He'd been through those different things. And yet, he'd obeyed God, and he'd overcome his fears. He overcame those fears by listening to God, by following him, whatever God said, by obeying God, wherever God directed. He adopted Jesus, raised him as an heir of David. He was faithful to Mary, and together with her, raised Jesus through his childhood years. And whatever came of Joseph in the end, we're told Jesus taught himself about those words that God says to his good and faithful servants. And that's what Joseph was, isn't it? He was a man who was faithful. And he faithfully served God in the task that God had given, in raising, looking after the Son of God and the Son of David. And maybe as a new year soon begins, perhaps Joseph's example can be one of help to us. We want to be faithful men, faithful women, who follow God and walk in his ways, and through the ups and downs of life, keep going. With setbacks, with misunderstandings, with all kinds of things that come our way. Maybe many things we're afraid of. Joseph was one who overcame his fears and found even in those fearful situations there was joy as he followed God's word, obeying him and trusting him. Joseph was a faithful servant of God. And perhaps he can be an encouragement to us, an example to us in the year ahead.